Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Good Monday to all of you. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jurevicius in the Dog Bowl here in Berea. The Browns went to Buffalo looking to get to 8-4 on this season, but they come away from Buffalo at 7-5, losing 26-10 to the Bills in a game that completely got away from this Browns team in the third quarter, where they were outscored 14-0 and did not muster a single first down. Brian Hoyer on the day threw two interceptions and was pulled from the game in favor of Johnny Manziel in the fourth quarter, who came in and promptly led the Browns on an 8-play, 80-yard scoring drive with 8:47 left. And now, of course, the Browns come away from this game with more questions than answers. They find themselves, as I said now, at 7-5. Now, the good news is both Pittsburgh and Baltimore lost in the AFC North, but Cincinnati won a game that they looked like they were going to lose to Tampa Bay. So the Browns still find themselves in a three-way tie for second place in the AFC North. But I'll tell you what, the big story, obviously, the quarterback position. And has it been, is enough with Brian Hoyer in terms of his level of play over the last 4 weeks? 53% completions, one touchdown, six interceptions, the offense looking stagnant at times. Will a switch be made by Mike Pettine? That's going to be the big discussion, obviously, on today's show. We do want to hear from you. It's our Ohio Business Machine's hottest topic of the day. 216-578-0850. Who should start a quarterback for the Browns? We're going to make our cases. You'll make your case. So call us up, and we'll obviously get deep into that one today since it is the biggest story here in Berea. Also, some injury news as well coming out of that game. Gary Barnage suffered a rib injury of some sort, was unable to return. Nick McDonald, an ankle injury, he was unable to return. Miles Austin had spent the night in a hospital in Buffalo with an abdominal injury. So this game has a lot of questions, a lot of casualties, obviously, for the Cleveland Browns. And this is not as fun as last Monday, guys. But right now, the Browns are kind of in a little bit of a regroup mode coming off this game in Buffalo.
Oh, they definitely are, Nathan. And I think, you know, when you talk about the quarterback position, which, you know, we'll address all show long, you would think that Brian Hoyer, who is playing for a contract and playing for a future here in Cleveland, would crank things up towards this middle portion of the schedule and then close the season extremely well to bridge those talks very quickly to lock something up so that he can definitively move forward into next season. But we've saw a regression. You know, we get Josh Gordon back and we see mistakes. We see, you know, in my eyes, too many targets of Josh Gordon, 29 targets in the last 2 weeks of Josh Gordon. So it is like a kid in a candy store, but he's gone too crazy. And I think we saw a very good defensive team who up front was dominant, but on the back end had their question marks, something that I thought going into the week we could take advantage of, but they took advantage of a quarterback who eyes down his target way too long and took advantage of some interceptions, and they were able to, unlike us, to turn those into points.
You know, it's funny, Matt, when you watch that game and, you know, when you watch a TV copy, it was very evident to me that he was staring down the receivers. And again, I've been a Brian fan for a long time here because I like the hometown story myself. It was similar to what I did. But the other side of this whole thing right now is you have to win football games, and we need momentum. And right now our momentum was so stagnant going through the middle part of this schedule that it's become very evident when you're playing these good football teams, you have to score points, and you just can't be lackluster. You've got to put points on the board. You've got to create the momentum. And what Johnny Manziel did in that one series of play was actually give us a booster.
He certainly did, and it's not all on Brian Hoyer, but this offense manhandled Isaiah Crowell, no room to run the football, 17 carries, 29 yards on the day. Terrence West, prior to the 18-yard run he had in garbage time, had six carries for 14 yards, so neither of them, you know, even at 2.5 yards per carry, there was no room to run against this fearsome front forwards, what we feared in this game for the Browns, and then a lot of it fell on the shoulder of Brian Hoyer, inaccurate at times, miscommunication with Josh Gordon. I believe the first interception was Gordon's fault for not running the proper route, but still would have been forced in there. And then the second one, obviously, that was the deal breaker. But you looked at this game, and in the first half, and I thought the Browns defense played a very good game.
They did.
In this one, I thought they were stout. I thought they were tough when they needed to be. They held the they forced turnovers, two interceptions from Kyle Orton, one from Jim Leonard in the end zone, another from Joe Hayden. They blocked a field goal. And to me, the game really turned in a matter of moments. And it was a horrific third quarter where you had, at one point, Joe Hayden block a field goal at the end of the first half, so it goes in 3-0. You come out, you get an interception on the very first drive. You have first and 10 at the Buffalo Bills 29, and you don't gain any yards. In fact, on third down, Brian Hoyer holds the ball a little too long, takes a sack. The ball's got to be up. All of a sudden, you're out of field goal range. You get no points. Then you give up a touchdown. You get the ball back. Terrence West stripped, fumbled, touchdown. They scored 14 points in 10 seconds after not scoring all game prior to that.
Yeah, you look at – and then one thing that came into my mind when Brian Hoyer held on to that football, and this is a question as we move forward with Brian Hoyer or if there is a potential to keep Brian Hoyer here, I thought very similarly last week when he threw that what I thought was a throwaway to Josh Gordon in the end zone, and then, you know, Brian Hoyer keeps that ball in the middle of the field. Is his arm not strong enough to be able to throw that ball, you know, 27 and a half yards or 29 yards, you know, into the bench to get rid of that football? Because, again, you take points off the board because we move back. We then, you know, have to punt. We try to pin them deep. Last week it turns into an interception, and Josh Gordon makes a lackluster effort of going up after to defend the football at that point. But you'll look, and again, I say this because you look around the league at Rivers and Rodgers and Brady and Manning, and these guys have no problem taking an incompletion to save the interception or the loss of yards that could affect the football game as a whole.
Right. You know, what I looked at, his inaccuracies, what he lacks in arm strength, you have to be very accurate. You know, when I was with Brad Johnson in Tampa, Brad couldn't throw a ball 35, 40 yards because his arm wasn't that strong. But you better believe at the 20-yard and in, he was very accurate. And what I'm seeing with Brian is a lot of times on the simple curl routes or the 16-yard digs, that those balls are a few yards to the left or to the right, and they're not where they need to be, and it just ruins the momentum. And we talked about that switch, what happened in 10 seconds, how the momentum switched. That's what this game is. You need momentum, and momentum is being accurate with your throws, giving receivers opportunities to do things, getting the running backs in the flow, not turning the ball over. Everything that could have went wrong happened yesterday, and that's why the switch happened. But what Brian's been lacking in that deep ball, you've got to be very, very accurate, especially in a short game and in that intermediate game.
You're right, and here are the facts. The Browns are second to last in the NFL with 11 passing touchdowns on the season. Their touchdown interception ratio, that's what we had been praising for Hoyer. Well, now it's wiped out. 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. The Browns are second in the NFL, second to last in the NFL in completion percentage at just 56, the only team worse in either category. The New York Jets, who have had all kinds of problems with Vic and Geno Smith, they're the only ones that are worse. So the Browns are now one of six teams in the NFL that have a quarterback rating of under 80. So these are not – Brian Hoyer has kind of saved himself with some clutch moments, but it's starting to add up that the overall body of work here, not great. Under pressure, the least accurate quarterback in the NFL right now. So he is really struggling, and these warts are kind of revealing themselves as the season goes on. And I think the toughest part is, you know, you thought when Josh Gordon came back, that's when you were going to see – okay, everything's going to settle down. Everybody else is going to be more open. You've got one of the best receivers in the game back. And I don't know if mentally he's fixated on getting the ball to Gordon, but I think that's caused some problems. Their communication has been off on some routes, et cetera. So it has actually gotten worse, I'd say, for Hoyer the last 2 weeks with Gordon back.
You're absolutely right. And I think this is after yesterday's football game, you can now say, and I've heard it from multiple sources, that this football team is winning in spite of Brian Hoyer. And those statistics that you just rattled off, you know, everything we used to praise him for, his decision-making, he doesn't turn the ball over, all those things that we did in the first half again. And, Joe, I know you've pointed out a lot in the last few weeks. It's been against subpar opponents,
right?
You know, one of which teams got beat 52-0 yesterday. How does that happen in the National Football League? I don't know. But, again, he was playing okay and above average against those opponents. Well, now the game has got turned up. All these teams that we're going to play here in our final stretch, minus maybe one football team, actually, no, all of them are still fighting for a playoff spot. So we're going to get their best effort. And I always talk about this, is when the lights shine the brightest, those stars, those players that deserve millions and millions of dollars, they rise to the top and show their value to you as a fan and you as a team. And in this point, you know, he's cowering down to the level of some of these opponents, and in some cases he's below average. And again, those statistics that you named off there, Nathan, are very glaring to me. And this team is 7-5 in spite of how bad some of those percentages are, and those, and the, again, lack of touchdowns and performance in the red zone.
Matt, you've been right. You know, the schedule that we faced here in the middle part of the season dictated that we should win those games, and what I'm happy about is you have to win those games, and the Browns did win those games. But the obvious thing that stands out for me is those defense, like you said, they were subpar. Now when you play a Buffalo Bills team,
it's good defense. Led,
you know, 46 sacks and the interceptions. Defensive backfield may not have been one of the best, but they still had some interceptions going on back there throughout the year. I mean, there's a lot of things that were going on that led me to believe that this is only going to get tougher. And now, like you said, with the exception of Carolina, who, yes, is still in it, there's three teams that are all fighting for these spots. And, you know, you're looking at Indianapolis. Everybody's fighting for that home, that first game bye, that first bye weekend. So it's going to get tougher. And, again, when you're talking about a shot in the arm right now, I think you have to make the change, because I think Johnny Manziel at this point in the season can do everything that Brian Hoyer has done, and if not, he could probably do it a little bit better.
He's going to put more pressure on a defense with his legs. We saw that on the touchdown run. We saw that on the first bootleg where there was nothing there, still picked up positive yards to get you in more of a second and manageable than a second and 10 plus. He clearly has a stronger arm, and I thought it was very apparent there at Ralph Wilson Stadium, because the wind was whipping a little bit, and I thought some of Brian Hoyer's balls were either held up, affected by the wind, fluttered in the wind. Johnny Manziel on that throw to Jim Dre, if he didn't have exactly that number of miles per hour on that ball, that's an interception. He just got that in there. Now, it could have been a little bit farther out in front of Dre, but still, the arm strength was evident. I think physically, there's no question he's the more gifted guy. I mean, we're talking about a quarterback in Brian Hoyer who was undrafted, who's been a little bit of a journeyman and is now getting a shot, versus a guy who was taken, a former Heisman Trophy winner and a first, you know, first-round pick in the NFL. The question is going to be, how does this locker room respond? What did they see? Because I can tell you from being on the sideline, once we had, you know, Johnny Manziel, once he went into the game, the sideline was kind of a buzz. The players were amped up about it.
And you could see that on television. You could see the smiles. You could see Josh Gordon's glaring smile through the visor. You could see Hayden smiling, you know, and under, you know, after both Johnny making throws and leading that touchdown drive and the reception he got coming off the field. It was very evident.
I even noticed Joe Thomas having a little conversation with Johnny. So I think that everything that we just said right there, it's ringing true. Even Buffalo was excited to see him at some point, because Johnny Manziel is just kind of like this prize package that nobody's opened up yet, and we got to see him in a matter of a series and a half.
Now, the interesting thing is, though, so we know the physical gifts obviously are with Johnny Manziel. But at the end of the day, and I know we've been, you know, talking about Brian Hoyer and the deficiencies, and they are becoming more and more apparent. The Browns are 7-5. You would have signed up for 7-5 at the beginning of this season, and Brian Hoyer has been the quarterback that's gotten you to 7-5 without Alex Mack, without Pro Bowler Jordan Cameron, without Josh Gordon for all but two of the games. The defense now is down three defensive linemen. Carlos Dansby hasn't played in two games. Deshaun Gibson is now hurt. The injury bug is hitting this team very hard, and he has been kind of, for better and for worse, the leader of this team. He came through against Atlanta when you needed him to. So how in the locker room, I guess, and when Mike Pettine weighs with this, because I don't think it's an easy decision. I think it's very easy to be tantalized with what Johnny saw. Peter King saying it's obviously the time to go to him. I think that Johnny Manziel will do very well if given the opportunity. But how does this play when you're in a playoff hunt with a guy who is a veteran, who's gotten you to 7-5? What do you think is the locker room thinking right now? And how do you guys look at it? Is it, this guy excites me more? I think this guy's got more skills. How is this being viewed in the locker room?
If I'm in that locker room and I'm going to give you a defensive perspective, and Joe, this is the guy that would potentially be throwing you the pass and spending time in meetings and practicing, you know, days on end to prepare for every Sunday with this quarterback. But I want the guy that keeps me in this playoff race because of the culture here in Cleveland and how it's escaped us year after year, and we've been so bad. We have to do whatever it takes to win more than we lose going forward, which keeps us in the conversation. And that's where I come to the point where Pettine's got to decide at this point, you know, who I go with. And this week with the Colts, as we said in our video, we're going to score some points,
just,
you know.
Just a few.
Exactly. And also, too, is what is best for this football team? Because I don't think by any means, if you go to Manziel, that doesn't mean, you know, I say 3-4 weeks ago, you go to Manziel at a certain point, you know, you feel the need that you've given up on your seat and you can't go back to Hoyer. I think at this point, we have to go all in and say, Manziel's going to lead us. And if we have to go back to Hoyer for whatever reason, we know that he's led us to 7-5. You know, so it's
I don't know if you make that switch. If you switch to Johnny, I don't know if you then yo-yo.
I think at this point, you are all in because it's a win now mentality. And if it goes Manziel, Hoyer, Manziel, however you have to do in the next 4 weeks, you push all your chips in with your entire roster to win football games.
You sound like Jim Fossil right there back in 2001 when he pushed all the chips in and we ended up going to NFC Championship.
That's what I'm talking about.
Super
See?
Bowl like that. But
I know a little something.
You know, Matt's exactly right because momentum is so big right now. Listen, things have been a little bit stagnant around here, and going into this last quarter of the season, if there's anything that you need to get that attention or to kind of build that momentum up and get yourselves into the playoffs, it's points, it's excitement. Because Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when you get to this part of the season, your body hurts, you're tired, things become very, very stagnant down there in the meeting rooms, the lights go off, you want to shut your eyes, you got to do everything you can. Now you have this little burst of energy that's kind of come through the hallways and into that meeting room, and guys started to take a little bit of notice. And that, to me, is the thing that could technically take this team to the next step.
You're right.
I think ultimately the decision has to be who gives us the best chance to win this game, not how
100%.
Who's gotten us here.
I agree 100%.
Not who's gotten here. Who gives the Browns the best chance to win by being the team's starting quarterback right now?
Agree.
It is going to be a tough decision, I think, for Mike Pettine. Ultimately, I think when you just look at it, when you look at the play on the field, you look at the potential right now, given the way that Hoyer's been over the last four games, it's tough to say that Brian Hoyer is the surefire answer. Now, we've only seen Johnny for two series. One was very good. The other, obviously, not as good. But you haven't seen him every week in practice. You don't know how that's going. Obviously, I think it looked to me, he looked much more comfortable in live game action than he looked in the preseason really at any point. He looked much more in command. So that says to me he's been putting in the work and he was prepared for that opportunity against a very good front that you know wanted to go in there and knock him around and just go ahead and tee off on him and ruin this kind of debut, as it were.
Oh, they definitely did. But that also, too, being said, Nathan, is I really did also look. He looked very flustered. He looked rushed. He looked like he wanted to be perfect and get the team in and get the, and communicate the play. He was up against the clock. And all of that, you know, can slow down for him with a week's worth of preparation. And again, he can execute at a higher level and not be so rushed and so forced, because I do think he is a pro. He studies the game. He practices and is a part of this game plan each and every week because he is one play away. And we got to see it. We like what we saw. And I think just simply because points are going to be so pivotal in this Colts game that he gives us the best shot moving forward.
If I could say one thing, and you guys know that I've been a Brian fan for a lot of reasons, but you know, the other thing too, why I think it may be a good thing for Brian to kind of take a step back here, and not that he wants to take that step back. Brian's had a lot of pressure on him this entire offseason/season. There's no questions asked. Every single question, he knows he's fighting for his job. He's fighting for the contract. He knows that every single mistake or turnover is under the microscope, not only with the team and the coaching staff here, but the national media. And every single time that he does throw the interception, they pan over to Johnny Manziel, and then his friends tell him that, hey, Johnny was on after you threw the pick. I mean, it's kind of a never-ending thing. And I think Brian may be kind of suffering from a little bit of not depression, if you will. And I don't mean the word depression in the sense, but I mean there's just been a lot of things on this guy's shoulders that he's had to carry, and he's done one hell of a job to get us to this point. But again, if we have to look forward to the team and what's best for the team, we have to score points, and we've got to put points on the board now. We can't put them on in 2 weeks. We've got to put them on this week versus the Colts.
This is going to be the toughest decision, I think, of the early tenure for head coach Mike Pettine. What do you guys want to see happen at quarterback? Johnny Manziel, stick with Brian Hoyer, 216-578-0850. Let us know when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns.